General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Men are easily inspired by human ideals, but they forget them just as quickly. Millions feared Hitler, and millions were enthralled by him. Millions laid down their lives for him, and other millions died fighting against him. Today, when German schoolchildren are asked questions about the corporal with a whiff of gas in his lungs from the Great War, they know very little about him, and a few of them are able to name his henchmen. In 50 years' time, nobody will be interested in the conferences and threats which fill today's headlines. But when, 50 years from now, a lion walks into the red dawn and roars, it will mean something to people and will quicken their hearts, whether they're Bolsheviks or Democrats, or whether they speak English, German, Dutch, or Kiswahili. The words of Dr. Bernard Grimmick, director of the Frankfurt Zoo, one of the greatest modern fighters for the preservation of wildlife throughout the world. Grimmick was always an advocate of the sanctity of Africa's game, but an old friend and very dear enemy of mine, called Chobo, only came to the realization that the continent's animals must be preserved at all costs late in life. You've heard of Chobo before, Chobo of the Quando. The old man had spent most of his life outside the law as a poacher, but my story tonight concerns two episodes from his later years. I have called it Fire Mump. One of Robert Simpson's last visits to Chobo at his camp, high on one bank of the Quando River on the Portuguese side, took place soon after the Scottish policeman had tried unsuccessfully to persuade him to meet the law on its own terms. Simpson planned to spend a couple of weeks with the ancient ex-poacher before flying to Frankfurt for an international conference on game. It was the dry season, and one morning the two men went for a stroll through Chobo's world. He had changed, like many hunters in their final years, and wished to kill animals no more. Instead, he spoke of studying them and guarding them from danger.
Peterson and his son gave up all they had. Families, homes, savings.
All for the animals, Bob. To think I could have done the same. So could you. Left it a bit late, perhaps, but there it is, you know.
I don't see that you left it too late, you old sinner. Nothing's ever too late. You decide to go in with it with all your heart and your soul. Oh, there's plenty of life left in you yet.
No, well, I wrote to Peterson. He started a game farm in Tanganyika, you know.
Yeah.
Hopes to make it into a park one day.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote to him, offered me services. Well, I mean, I know a thing or two about the game. Well, it was a few weeks before I got a reply. And do you know what he said?
No.
He said he'd give a lot to believe in the sentiments, but couldn't take the risk of employing me in case I went and poached his best specimens. That's what he said.
Never mind. You'd be unhappy in Tanganyika anyway. It's not like the Quando, you know.
Yet I suppose he's doing some good work with that son of his. I met a man who wanted to be a hunter last year. He told him to put his guns away and buy a camera. Do you know what he said?
No, Chobo, I don't.
He said he was sick and tired of people who'd killed everything there was to kill, advising others to buy cameras.
Oh.
Yes, that's what he said. Reckoned it was hypocritical of me to get all the pleasure I'd wanted out of hunting and then turn into a saint and crusade for the game. Seemed logical. But if I'd been a few years younger, I'd have wept the eye off him.
Yes.
Anyway, it's too fine a day to bother about the likes of him. We're looking for Spoor,
yeah.
And Spoor we're going to find.
Round here where I saw the blighter. by the big tree here.
Shelbo! Shelbo!
The pit was a deep one, expertly made. It was a good 18 feet deep. The old man's eyesight must have been going. 5 years ago, he'd never have missed it.
Shelbo! Shelbo! Are you hurt? Can you stand?
Then Robert saw the sharpened stakes at the bottom of the game pit. Shelbo was lying, twisted up upon his side, one hand clutching the thickest of the cruel stakes.
Can you stand, Shelbo?
I must be blind. Blind!
Never mind that. Are the stakes poisoned? Can you see anything on them?
No, but I must be blind.
Can you grasp hold of... No, you'll never get near the rifle. Shelbo, there's nothing around. I'll have to roar back to camp. Listen, for heaven's sake, tell me if you're hurt, man.
Oh, stop fussing, Simpson. Get a rope or something and get me out.
Are you hurt?
Yes. My thigh, but I'll survive. Now get out and bring a rope. I can't climb up and you can't climb down. Bring Tarabinga back here with you.
They were about a mile and a half from the camp, and Simpson realized that he, too, had many more years behind him than ahead after running half the distance. They got Shelbo out, Tarabinga and Robert Simpson, and the black man was very amused at the idea of his master falling into a simple native game pit until he saw the wound upon the old poacher's thigh. It was a bad one, and was responsible for the other man's stay being extended to 3 months instead of 2 weeks, for Shelbo couldn't get about too well once he was back on his feet again. He healed quickly, but it was obvious that this slowing up was going to be permanent. It was a stupid thing to have done, but not too dangerous in itself. The fall and the wound, though, were the first links in a chain of happenings, which all but cost me my oldest friend 4 or 5 years before his time. That dry season by the Quando. The Quando, Portuguese territory. The worst dry season Shelbo had ever known.
Over the felt there, Bob. Job here for Peterson, and that son of his. Water for the animals. Rechannel the Quando.
Martha! Martha, fire!
Where? How far?
Far, perhaps 5 miles. One village has been destroyed.
Blasted, Simpson! I was going to make a fire break if it hadn't been for this blasted leg. Tarabinga! Send to the headman! Tell him my compliments, though he doesn't deserve them. Tell him I want every man he's got as a fire beater. Tell him to send them quick or I'll have his guts for garters. Go on, Tarabinga, don't stand there staring. Bob, we'll have to start another fire near the camp. For when it meets the main blaze, they'll eat each other. Vale! Fina! Saragoya, Malambo!
The fire was big. The wind was sending it towards the camp at an unbelievable rate. Dozens of small animals had been trapped and burnt to death. The first of the larger herds reached them as Shelbo called out to his natives. Zebra, wildebeest, impala, running from the smoke, heads down, nostrils foaming, stricken eyes, not caring where they ran to as long as they could escape the danger behind them. Suddenly the largest, ragged herd swerved and ran through the camp. Natives ran to the right and to the left of the oncoming herd. The terrified animals bore down upon Shelbo. He tried to run, but the game pit stake had made running an impossibility forever. Bob Simpson lost sight of the old man, saw him swallowed up by the herd. What happened then, when death was seconds away, only Shelbo could tell.
My eyes closed and opened again. There were yards from me, the leaders. I saw their yellowed eyes.
Shelbo!
And then I saw the ant bear hold of my feet. I dropped into it, squeezed myself deep down into it as the herd passed over my head. I was safe from the buck, but there was something else. There was no ant bear in the hole. He'd gone a long time before. Like a cuckoo, another had taken over the hole for a home, rented it, and had avoided the rent collector for the whole of his stay. His name was Black Mamba,
and the bundo was 6 feet long. Mamba, one of the biggest I've seen in many a long. Chobo, you can't get out. If you do, he'll strike you. And if he strikes, death, Chobo, you old fool, in 1 minute. Fire. Coming. Pass overhead if you're lucky.
Smoke.
Hot. Feel like chicken in an oven.
Tried to put all his willpower into hypnotizing the reptile into immobility. The fire diminished over the top of the hole, but the smoke grew worse. They watched one another, the snake and the man. The once steel-like nerves of the old man began to break, to become brittle, to fracture.
There's no way out of the hole for him. No way out. For me, if I back out, I can't turn. He'll have me. If he wants to move out, he'll have to get past me.
The Mamba did not move, and neither did Chobo move. Help from outside? He knew the Terabinga, with whom he'd faced death on many occasions during the long years they'd spent together, would be searching for him. In the felt, trodden and destroyed by the frenzied buck, in the burnt and blackened felt. He knew that Simpson would be with Terabinga.
Expect to find Chobo or Cinder. They will. Cinder. And if they make a noise looking, the Mamba will be scared and it'll have me. Then, death. 1 minute. If I were an ant bear, the Mamba wouldn't be afraid of me. They would share this hole in peace. Seems to be asleep. But he's not asleep. He knows. He's watching. He knows his lodgers, no ant bear. Smoke's clearing. Breathe more easily now. If you were a religious man, Jobo, you'd be thinking of an account of yourself to give. Because you haven't long to live now. Account of myself. Give to who? I don't know. Never thought much about that sort of thing. Terabinga could help. He would. Always trusted me. Stop an elephant's charge or a wounded buffalo. At my side, always. Now I need him. But there's nothing he can do for me. Don't move. They'll come soon up there. See my feet in the hole. Shout. And pull me out. And then the Mamba will.
What does a man think of when death is certain, when death watches him with a cold eye, and the minutes pass, and that man knows full well that each and every minute may be his last? Few men have the opportunity of knowing death's colour, death's smell. When illness strikes, when illness meanders into coma and oblivion, a man is warm and attended by ones who care. When death comes in a lightning flash, there is no time at all for reflection, no time at all to prepare a case. But when death watches, with time in which to choose, a strike, and The man has no one but his dreams, his hopes, failures. Men of the bush are not accustomed to reflection. In a life lived for the most part in a clear knowledge and understanding of the passing moment, a man doesn't dream of what is to come or what might have been. Chobo and the Black Mamba saw into the home of one another's soul. The man's immortal soul was complex like a maze in felt fire smoke. The reptile's soul was simple. Feed, drink, die before attaining drink and food. Die while attaining the same. Live. Kill if necessary. Kill to live. No motive. No reason to withstand the passage of time. Chobo's concentration was entirely taken up with hypnotizing the snake into tranquility. But his subconscious mind journeyed, as if in preparation for death, back to his beginnings in Africa, a man who came to the bush and stayed purely by accident.
Drinking song is a very fine thing. Ride is for the ladies. A drinking song is a very fine song. Ring out the women.
Well, Charles, now you hear your thing. You and Charles, opportunity. Going to be opened up.
Opened up. Three cheers for the land being opened up.
And the youngster will stay with us.
Well, I'm heading for the East Harper. That's where my fortune lies.
Rubbish! East Africa, land of tomorrow. Oh. The century's turned, fortunes to be made. You'll be with us. Give him a drink, Harper. And if he says another word about the East, hit him.
Drink, Charles, and listen to Father. In the East, you'll turn yellow and die before you're 30. East Africa, you'll live till 100 and marry 20 beautiful women.
Stay, Charles. Yes, stay, my chubby Charlie.
Stay, me chubby Chobo. Chobo, I hereby do declare that the overweight young man sitting before me in the haven of peace shall hereby be known as Chobo.
Chobo!
I'm going East Harper, but... What do you intend doing in East Africa, anyway?
For gold.
Look for gold.
Diamond skins. Paradise.
Diamonds. It's reached our ears, old boy, that the lazy, idle rich in England and even in America will pay to shoot lion, leopard, and buffalo. We, and many like us, will lead them to the animals and help them to shoot. Plenty for all. They need us, you see, otherwise they'd be scared.
Oh, we'll hold their hands.
I've never handled a gun.
Never?
No.
Then tomorrow you shall, my dear boy. Tomorrow you shall. You shall be our first customer.
Customer? But you needn't pay a penny for the privilege.
On the Serengeti, you'll bag whatever it pleases you to bag.
And if you miss, we'll bag it for you, and you can have a second go. Yes.
All right.
Excellent, young Chobo.
Now, afterwards, I shall go east.
Oh, rubbish, rot, nonsense. You stay here.
Oh, oh, a drinking song is a very fine thing. Right for the ladies.
East Africa, that is, old boy, not the yellow East.
Drinking song is a very fine thing. Ring out the women. Ring out. Line up. An Englishman may always take his time.
Charles Patterson became Chobo. And as he lay in the antbear's hole half a century later, it's doubtful whether he could even have recalled his second name, or remembered he was once plump and answered to Charles. In the company of his newfound friends in East Africa, Chobo journeyed into the Great Plains. In those years, the game spread as far as the eye could see. Chobo grasped the gun nervously, and they went in search of something for the greenhorn to shoot.
Never knew there were so many animals in the world.
They're not animals. Zebra, wildebeest, nothing there to thrill a man. We're after something better for you, Chobo.
An hour later, they found what they searched for. In the shade of a thorn tree lay a fine male lion, accompanied by two females. An event which was to change Chobo's whole life sent him through 50 years of hunting and poaching and living a solitary, hard-drinking life was about to take place.
Now, Chobo, old boy, remember what I said? The black mane male's yours. Gentle squeeze. Line him up as I told you. And no jerk.
I'd like to have had it go one of those other things first, you know. What do you call them?
Things that look like old men.
A villagers. Waste of ammunition unless you're shooting for the pot. There's your target, Sherbo.
Yes, yes.
A few weeks you'll be wrapping the skin round you at night in the Norfolk Hotel. Or up downstairs.
In heaven, Tom.
Big ones up, Sherbo.
Wait for me to...
Sherbo! Did... Tom! Oh,
heavens.
Let's get over there. The females are gone.
Sorry, I didn't wait. But...
Let's get across. Careful now.
Tom, what did I... Is it dead?
Never shot a rifle before, Cherbo. Never bagged
well,
a...
I did what you suggested, brain shot. The angle, you remember. Is it dead?
Well, might the old hands have shown surprise. The brain shot had been accomplished with perfection. The first shot by the new man to the Tanganyikan country had accounted for the biggest lion killed for many years. And the record was to stand for 33 years, until Chobo himself shot a larger in Ethiopia.
I think if he stays, there'll be only one man the English will ask for when they come to shoot.
Congratulations, sir! That was the finest shot I've ever seen.
The finest shot Carstairs ever saw. If he'd lived, he'd have seen many, even finer, during the years in which Chobo Patterson became a legend. Even in his later years, as a poacher, he achieved fame throughout all the territories. Fame. Fortune good, fortune bad. Until the ant bear hole near the Quando, after the fire, after the stampede. The ant bear hole and the fire mamba.
Watch any longer. Not anymore. Can't. They're coming. Looking for me. Tarabinga. If my very good old friends Harper and Carstairs could see me now. Carstairs, prey to a buffalo in Kenya. Harper, drowned Lake Tanganyika. And Chobo Patterson would... We'll join them wherever they are. Because he can't watch those snakes' eyes any longer. Now or never.
When the smoke went away.
Mamba!
One word. That's all the old man said. And the snake reared its head as it struck. Chobo's last effort was put into staring the reptile in the eyes, willing it not to harm him. The minutes dragged by, and then, the mamba, having settled once more, Chobo felt something being pushed along his body, inch by inch, until it reached his hand. It was a bunch of leaves tied to a long reed. The leaves had a pungent smell. The effect upon the mamba was instantaneous and startling. The head disappeared into the hollow of the coils. When the bunch of leaves passing Chobo's head and hands reached the snake, there was no movement from it.
Master, have the leaves reached the mamba? Have they, Master?
Yes.
Right, Carabinga. Pull!
Oh. Master, we feel...
All right, old man. Carabinga, the mamba.
What? Why did... Carabinga...
You, Arthur, the mamba, in my hands, no more danger. See, I place it upon the ground. Wait.
The mamba the black man had brought from the hole began to move sluggishly. And then...
Ha! Ha!
The mamba lay still, its back broken in many places.
How, Tarabinga? How? I thought I'd never see the air again. Hoped you'd hear me call, but how, those leaves?
In Zululand, where I was born, Master, there's a small plant. It grows beside rivers. When the leaves are crushed, they make a smell. And when this smell is put near the mamba and any snake, the snake sleeps. The plant grows close by Kwanda. I heard your word, Master. Mamba. I saw your feet even where the bucket passed by and the fire had gone over. You are not burned, Master.
No, I'm...
And then he pulled his boots from his feet and saw the great blisters. And only then did he feel the pain.
There was no other thing Tarabingo could do to save the Master. For we have fought many battles and there are many more to fight. It would have been bad for you to die in a hole like a worm with this.
Eyes. They were so cold, Bob. Cold and evil.
In my story tonight, we touched briefly on the great Serengeti plains, once black with game, and where Chobo shot his first lion on his first hunt. The plains are now sadly depleted in the number of game, grazing across the mighty vista of rolling grasslands. Droughts, the gun, poaching, the encroachment of human life onto the animal's domain. But there exist small groups of men, naturalists, geologists and others, who are striving to save the herds. It's an uphill task, and if they can raise sufficient money for the proper policing of the reserves, for the digging of water holes and other vital works, there is a chance that they may persuade the political powers to take some action as well. These are men who love, perhaps, animal life above human. Well, I shall sit in no judgment seat upon them. After all, it was Bismarck on his deathbed who said simply, "Have the hens been fed?"
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushbelt. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.